It's a hot, sexy death summer!
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, for our summer series, we will review It Follows. As John will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then do a deep spoiler analysis. But before we get to that...
It Follows. It's a musical.
Beautiful.
Right?
I love it.
That's the one we watched.
That's the one we watched.
It's coming after you. You can't see it at all. But all it wants is a nice long hug. It Follows. It was a good musical. You should watch it. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
I want to watch what you watch. All right, but in TV Corner, we're starting a new series with Adrian Brody and Emily Hampshire. Chapawait. And it is a prequel series to our favorite movie of our series, of our podcast, Salem's Lot, or Jerusalem's Lot was the prequel. And this was also on Epix, another Epix original. John, what you think?
It's a first episode. I don't know if I can really make it. Like, there are some interesting things about it. A lot of it I thought was kind of boring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because nothing happens. I mean, at the beginning, you get somebody, like, you know, the dad getting shot in the head.
Great, by the way. Beautiful. Yep. Very cool.
Yeah. So that was like a fun little beginning, but then it's a lot of like, oh, he's been at sea for a long time. He's a sailor, blah, blah, blah. Emily Hampshire is like obsessed with, oh, can you hear my what do you call it? What do you call those things? Air freshener, automatic air freshener going off. It just refuses to die, by the way.
Psh, no one.
Yeah, I swear I put that thing in there like 3 months ago. I mean, there's some interesting things. I don't understand what Adrian Brody's doing with his voice.
Yeah.
It's a little daunting. Yeah. And then I feel the same way about Emily Hampshire, unfortunately. I'm starting to think that the direction is like been given, they're just being split two different ways.
Okay.
I don't know.
Not authentic. On that front, I agree. I would argue Adrian Brody's been phoning it in since he won the Oscar for The Pianist. Yeah. That's just my humble opinion. You don't have to agree with it. Emily Hampshire's relatively new, though. I was hoping you would tell me, but I was a little unsure why she was so excited to be the governess for these kids. I'm not quite sure why.
Because she wants to write, it's a part of like some course or something, because she's one of the few people, like few women that goes to college during this time, right? And it's some sort of like dissertation, maybe? I don't know, something like that. And she really wants to write it about this, what's going on with this family. But I think she bit off more than she could chew, obviously, because she's like, what the fuck? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I agree with you. It is slow paced, but I actually kind of enjoyed that because I felt like all of the like more heightened, spooky moments were good. I didn't actually had like in the very beginning, we get a really kind of upsetting scene of a child watching... I'm presumably his father, right? Digs some hole and tells him that he needs to kill the boy. And then the mother tries to intervene and she gets like strangled and thrown on a wall.
Hmm? You said dig some hole, right?
dig some hole. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he deserved to die because he kept dicking some hole and his wife was like, enough of this cheating. I didn't. You bastard.
Just kidding. Yeah, I don't know the wife's name. So I just called her
Mom.
Mom. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, but yeah.
It is also interesting that so you are aware of what's going on, and whenever they ask about his dad, he was like, "Oh, he was a good man," and then that's it.
Like, clearly, okay. Was not. Yeah. I just liked the level of detail and seriousness of it, like him digging the hole, him basically like throwing the dirt on the kid, and then the mother recovering and shooting him in the face, very graphically. And very astutely, it was a really like catchy opening, right? Like, oh my God, what's going on? Right.
Yeah.
And, I really liked that, the stuff with the, like his kids are of, I'm assuming, what were they? Like probably like Hawaiian, Japanese.
I would venture to guess maybe like Polynesian. Yeah, you're right.
Polynesian. Like, yeah. They're Polynesian. And, his Polynesian kids, because his wife, we find out, dies at sea. And so he tells them that they have inherited some sort of mill from their cousin, right? Was that right? And he decides to move to Maine now that his wife is dead. And so he returns from captaining the boat. And which I think they're insinuating he was like, he hunted whales. Is that right?
Something like that. I think like he hunted whales and he was an avid reader and then picked up a book by Steve King and was like, I'm going to go to Maine.
Baron Stephen King. Kingsman.
He's like, I like this book because it's about only white people and then there's like one black person. Sorry, I just read an article about why Stephen King and I forgot who else are like privileged post 1940s writers. Like, yeah, but
yeah,
they're fine. It's fine.
I think I really like that. It has, of course, it's like a slow build. It definitely has. I definitely got some senses of like, of course, gothic horror, and it has like a feel of like turning of the screw, especially with the kids and the governess takes over the house.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be set around this like haunted house and what's going on. Of course, we know that eventually it's going to lead to vampires, right?
Yeah. Do you think his dad was aware? Maybe he's, I haven't read this book, but I'm just assuming he's the, like one of the first Renfields or something. Is what he's next in line for.
Yes, I'm getting the same sense. I know that there clearly are. His dad might still be alive, right? His dad could be like a vampire there in town, right?
Maybe, yeah.
No, I mean, that doesn't track.
But yeah,
I'm sorry, his cousin, not his cousin, dad. His cousin. Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant. His cousin is probably still alive because at the very end, what is it? They take that guy's blood, right? In the carriage, one of his sawmill workers.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. At the very end. And you get the sense that they're feeding whatever creatures is probably nearby, they mention Jerusalem's Lot, which I think is like the plot where they have all of the, it's like a family plot, like a cemetery, I believe. So I'm assuming there's something going on there, but I actually did like that. I like that. Adrian Brody has like a little bit of he's kind of like he's very understated, right? And he seems to be more or less like in control, even though there's things going on in the house that are not 100%, right? So it's kind of like a classic setup of, a family moving into a haunted home, trying to have a new beginning.
Or a broken family,
so,
right?
Yeah. A broken family, yeah, after a tragedy and stuff, yeah. So.
Yeah, so you think that rando little girl was bit or something and she's slowly dying? Or do you think the plague is there? Do you think they're going to tie in the plague, making it seem like the plague was actually just vampires fucking shit up?
Feeding? Yeah. I really think that that little girl, the one with the bum leg, She's the one. She definitely is the more supernatural, you know, character out of all of them. Something's up with her, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely not a vampire because she's hanging around, like, during the day, right? But she's super sick.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
Right. She did meet that sick girl with the rabbit. My rabbit died. I was real fucked up. I'm okay. I like it so far. I agree with you on some of the choices, some of the acting, but I do like where the story's going, and so far so good. You know, I thought it was okay. Hopefully it picks up, and you know, by all intentions, by the end of this first episode, I kind of got the sense that like it will pick up, and that we will maybe, you know, more of the plot will unfold, right?
Yeah, I think
more so. Rapidly. Yeah, more rapidly. Yeah, at least. And so you're good with sticking with this, or you said you're mostly bored?
No, I said it's a first episode. I don't know. I don't expect
it's a first episode.
To be fucking amazing. Yeah. No, I feel like we should stick with it. Before we do Salem's Lot 2.
Yeah, because we're going to watch Salem's Lot, dude. I don't
know. We got to watch the remake with, what's his name, Rutger Hauer, right?
Is he? Oh, yeah. Well, I heard they're making a second one. It's supposed to come out this year, but nobody's talking about it. I think that I could be crazy. There's another Salem's Lot movie coming out soon.
I thought that was a Nosferatu thing. I don't know.
As super fans, this is totally embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing that because Nosferatu and Salem's Lot are like top tier. Nothing touches those classics.
It's supposed to be released September 9th.
Oh.
This year, yeah. I haven't seen anything. That's a few months away. William Sadler's in it? Hell yeah.
So it might be good. Maybe they ran out of budget to make a trailer because it was like, oh, it's too good.
You know it's going to be good if you haven't heard anything from it.
And you know it's going to be great when you know too much about it already.
Oh, it has the kid from Unbreakable. What is it? You know which kid I'm talking about. His son.
Yeah, is that kid's like, what, like 56 now or something? I'm just kidding.
Well, no. Not quite. But no, yeah, he's in it. And Wim Sadler's in it. Those are good names. I don't know. Yeah. Pretty good. Well, hopefully this other thing comes out and that, this episode, the TV series Chapel 8 is able to pick up a little steam.
You're talking about William Sadler from The Unholy, right? I forgot he was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He was him. You're right. I think that he was like the only good thing about that movie.
Oh, well, there's something good about that movie. Interesting. Got it. oh, wow. Yeah. I just needed to see how old this kid is now. Oh, he's only
35?
Like, yeah, 35.
Right. Something like that.
Or he's 30.
Yeah.
He's about to be 35. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alfre
Woodard.
Alfre Woodard? Is she the vampire?
I wonder if she's going to play a character that comes in and says, "My son or daughter was killed. I just need you to understand that." And then she walks out, never to be seen again. Right? Is it, isn't that her new MO?
Hey, you got to get paid.
Oh, that's pretty cool. This movie might be good.
It's a movie, right? Not a TV show?
Yes.
It's hard to tell. The IMDb has almost it has almost no information on it other than a release date.
So they shot it in Massachusetts.
Oh, there you go.
So that's good.
Boston accents.
I'm William Sadler.
Hey, what's with all these vampires?
Yo, how about we just play a game of chess and figure it out? Ha, I'm death. You lost.
Catch me at the Dunkin' Donuts, yeah?
Nice. Yeah.
Well, that's our
review. That was our review. Jeff, oh, wait. Alrighty. Let's go to our main review. And John, do you feel it's getting hot? Hot. As we start our summer series with It Follows. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Sure do. I like the way you presented that. And we start our series with It Follows. Chapter one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. And I have, hopefully these are good because I've been sitting on them since Friday when I thought it was Sunday.
Ooh. Yeah, that was funny. Scared the shit out of me, dude.
Randomly text Rolando, wow. Like right before three, like, oh shit, my computer died. And he's like, John, it's Rolando. I'm like, I sure hope so. So my computer died. I just need to plug it in. It needs to reboot. And luckily that happened because it decided to update itself and I didn't know that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like.
And he was like, yeah, when you said Sunday, right? I'm like, yeah. Oh, fuck, today's Friday.
Yeah.
It's been a wild time, guys. Wild time. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I saw Ty Siegel on Thursday and I could have sworn it was Saturday for some reason.
Yeah.
All right. For It Follows, Johnny's five-word plot summaries. Coming in at number three, government test to destroy L.A. It would work. It would work fast, I think. Depending on how quick this thing works, I guess. Coming in at number two, the horniest ghoul of From.
Oh, yeah.
Totally is.
Yeah. Yep.
And before I give you number one, I've got a bonus. Healthcare won't give kids penicillin.
So timely. Yeah.
And coming in at number one, neglectful parents versus party monster.
So as part of our hot, sexy death summer, we just chose to pick It Follows. And I thought this movie would fit into this series because it's about a bunch of kids having sex. And there's nothing more summer about that than I could imagine. Yeah. So, John, you have seen it, right? So,
oh, yeah, I've seen it several times. Think? Yeah, I saw it several actually times, at the Los Feliz 3.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Back in the day. Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was so stoned. And like, I think I was drunk too. And I walk in and I was like, oh, the music. Like, cause when you're in the theater and that fucking score is pounding, I'm like, yeah. But even then, I think the one thing I took away from it was like, I understand this movie is focused on the kids. They're trying to do like a kind of like an It thing, sort of. But I was like, man, the parents like pop in only when it's absolutely necessary. Like, at the. After the fact, the kids are there to save the girl because she just got dropped off after she got like, well, she didn't get raped. I don't think anybody gets raped in this movie.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so either.
Which I kind of appreciated that it's all consensual. So I think it's really trying to present like these aren't necessarily bad people. They're just desperate or scared or don't want to be alone, which is kind of, you know, the theme of like STDs and like. Things you can track from other people aside from STDs that you just, there's no control over that. It's nobody's fault sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like, again, upon another review, viewing of this film, I'm like, yeah, this movie's great. I love it. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. I like that people complain about the slow pace, but I think you're supposed to feel in rhythm with this thing that I think they finally dubbed the entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I've never actually seen this movie. This was part of my years of sabbatical from movies, so I never saw it. And I finally got, and I thought it was a good opportunity to watch it as we added our to our hot, sexy death summer. So I love that the premise is easy to explain. It reminded me of like Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Where it's there's a boogeyman who haunts your dreams that you that can kill you. That's just like the perfect, easy, one sentence premise. This is exactly the same way, right? Like you there's a you know, a curse or something that gets passed on through sex, and you have to continue to pass it on or you face death, right? It's a very easily explained kind of premise, and I think those are always like the best horror movies, right? When you can just explain what is going on very simply. So I definitely, I got like Nightmare on Elm Street because it's about a bunch of kids. I got, you know, Carpenter, Halloween in this, you know, inspired by. I was loved that it's all the acting was very naturalistic, you know, it wasn't showy. And I like that. It just seems like middle America. You can't really like, I mean, I guess you can't really tell what city it's in. It just smells. It just seems like suburbia. It just seems like, you know, a small town USA kind of feel. And I think that adds to the tension of it.
It is vaguely mentioned somewhere, maybe not in dialogue, but it's vaguely mentioned somewhere. And the only reason I know that was because I got bored and watched a video where this guy tried to explain how you could defeat this thing. But if you were poor, I guess. It's like, what if you had to work every day anyway, right? So you just got to make sure you work like 60 miles that way and come back. I was like, shut up, dude. I guess you're getting views. You got my view, so fuck it. But yeah, apparently like the shoreline that they go to that lake sort of or whatever is, I forgot how far away. And they did the math, and that's like this thing takes 12 hours to walk like 30-something miles or something.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's commenting on how slow moving it is, so...
it doesn't have any fucking shoes. What do people expect from it? It's probably got,
I like that.
Alien feet. Like, where are you going to find alien feet shoes? Come on, guys, come on.
Yeah, and I think that... I feel like that it is... incredibly, I like that the perspective of the movie is mainly from the kids, right? Like, even when they try to like battle this creature, it's very much like it's their logic. It's like kids' logic almost, like young people logic. They don't really like think it through completely, and they make a lot of mistakes. You know what I mean?
So they did something they weren't supposed to do, right? Well, specifically her, and it's not like she didn't do anything wrong. It's just, so she had sex with the wrong person, you know, which is, you know, that shit happens. But then she doesn't know how to handle it. She doesn't know how to deal with it. You're not going to go to your parents with something like that, especially at that age. You know, you get old and you're like, fuck that. I need to talk. Let's fucking fix this. But when you're younger, like, I'm going to get in so much trouble, or people are going to call me a whore, or, you know.
Right. And I think it matches. You're right about that, in that, kids are more susceptible or believable to supernatural things. Like if you say like, oh, you know, like Candyman, don't say the name five times. Or like, did you hear about this thing that happened to this person? You're like, oh, really? Like they're more like believable. They buy into what's really going on. And I thought that they did a good job of keeping it in from their perspectives, to the point where like, we don't even see adults, right? We see like the mom, rarely. We see like a few, like rarely ever see. They just establish that she drinks a lot, and they mention that she's always asleep by 8 because she, you know, drinks herself to sleep and stuff. And so we know what kind of, that quickly, very astutely sets up that they don't really have a good like parental system, right? Yeah. That they're kind of on their own, you know, they're kind of on their own. They don't have anybody to turn to.
Or that's what I'm saying, neglectful parents versus party monster.
Mm.
Which is what I would have called the entity. I don't know why they call it the entity. It was called a fucking party monster. It likes to party.
It likes to party.
Because you finally get to see how it kills, right? But yeah, you see like the guy that infected her. Is that, should I use that word or should I pass it along? No, infected, right? Infected her with this thing.
Cursed her?
Curse.
It's been... It's a curse. It's like a thing you give to somebody, right? Like, I don't know. That's one way somebody was writing it online, and I was like, yeah, that kind of tracks. It's a curse. Out. Yeah.
I mean, you could also argue like an STD is kind of like a curse, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. I don't know. That's what I'm saying, like infected, whatever. You see his mom when they try to like knock on his door and figure out who he is. You briefly see the neighbor of the girl that dies at the beginning's a mom and then her dad very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And then otherwise it's just like a bunch of adults in like a movie theater or stuff like that. And just the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I like these kids' parents don't give a shit about them. Cause they're like, oh, you want to go up to a lake house? How old are you guys? Yeah, I don't care. I forgot how old you are. Just go.
Yeah.
Because you guys are
I think it
college question mark. Because if you're telling me that was a high school, I'm like, okay, where the fuck do you go to high school?
That it looks that nice. She's in college. I want to say she's in college, but the kids didn't seem to like do anything but hang out at the house.
Yeah, there.
They didn't really do much else.
Kid from Atypical and the girl with the glasses, the round frame glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to just go to work at that ice cream shop, right?
That's right, yeah. Her sister and that girl, Yara, and I'm assuming Kelly. It was her sister, yeah. They both just work at the ice cream shop, and Paul was her neighbor, right? Is that right? That Jay grew up with?
Yeah. Kiera Gilchrist?
Yes, yeah. And I like that the direction is very it's very moody, right? Very minimal, very moody, very lo-fi. I like that there's really nothing in here that I guess that's what I was going to say is that they don't really use like special effects, but I guess in the last part, the last scene they did. But I mean, when they do like when we see the ghosts when we see the thing walking towards them,
yeah.
It's basically just like an actor, right? Wearing something like that freaking 7 foot tall guy was like just in a white shirt. It's
and,
a makeup.
Later on at the lake house, I just wanted to say the lake house. I'm just kidding. Later on at the lake house, the thing takes shape of something that I thought was actually supposed to be Yara. But it wasn't. It was like somebody that just happened to look like Yara, I think. You remember? Mm-hmm. And she shot the entity in the neck, and it fell, but it immediately got back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that there was a little special effects there.
Okay. Yeah. 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 It was very much like minimal and small budget, you know. It didn't seem like there was a lot of it or anything. And I thought that was a service to the movie. I bet it worked really well.
But real quick, before I forget, Kiel Gilchrist, mm-hmm. right? The Paul character. Mm-hmm. Is it me or has he looked exactly the same? I know he was born in 92, but is it me or has he looked exactly the same for like the past, like, because he's a kid actor, right? Like, I remember him from like a bunch of shit, like,
I didn't recognize him. I knew he looked familiar, but I looked at his IMDb, but I didn't see anything that I had seen him in. I guess I've seen Dead Silence. That's about it.
Yeah, he's just the young version of, yeah. And then it's kind of a funny story, right?
I never saw that.
Oh, it's okay. It's a
funny.
But yeah, the Atypical kid who, like, a lot of people don't know. So while he was filming Atypical, he got in trouble with the producers because his voice was always given out. Because he's in two different bands. One's a grindcore band and one's a black metal band. and he plays in LA all the time. So his voice was always hoarse because it's just pure screaming and growls. this sweet young looking boy is obviously gonna be a fucking metalhead.
Yeah. And I thought it was a wonderful performance by what's her name? Malika Monroe. She was great. As Ellie J.
Yeah, she was really, really good.
She carries the whole movie. Essentially. You know, I mean she's basically in every scene in this movie, and I thought the direction was really strong because they did a really good job of showing that there was a lot of shots that were like POV, right? Like they were shot from like distance and then they were like kind of spying on them, which added some, added a lot of suspense and tension, and it fits kind of the theme because they were very like female centric characters. And so like to kind of feel like you're voyeuristically spying on them and their lives kind of like set you with them. And I think it brought a sense of like closeness with them as characters while they, you know, focusing on their relationships and stuff. So I thought it was a nice touch.
How'd you feel about, what was her name? Jay, right?
Jay. Yeah.
Jay. Well, Jay had kind of lost track of where this thing was at. And then when they're finally going to the lake house and they're pulling out of the driveway, you see where it's at. How did you feel about that moment? Did you think it was cheesy or did you think it was kind of cool? It ends up like on top of the house, just like standing and staring.
I was okay with it. I there was nothing like scary or spooky about it. It was more just stuff that they did a good job of putting the creature or whatever in unsettling places, right? That were upsetting. I think it was kind of the idea, right? And I was,
but it was something else I took away from it was there's an easy way to access the roof of her house?
Well, come on. It's a supernatural thing. I mean,
but they establish very clear rules about this thing. So it can't just randomly apparate. It has to walk everywhere. It's not stupid, but it's not like a genius. Because, like, you remember she saw it break into, that's kind of a spoiler. But break into a different house, and it needed to like grab a rock and throw it through the window and climb in, or it needed to knock until somebody would open the door, or it needed to like blow the bottom of the lake house storage place open to crawl through.
Mm-hmm. I think that one thing that how can I say this? I feel like the rules are never set. We don't know anything about this creature. Now, there are a lot of people who are like that are assuming things or are making assumptions or picking up on other things people have passed down or said to them. Just like the guy who originally gave it to her, who I forget his name was. I think his name was Hugh, right? His fake name was Hugh. I think that he thinks that like, oh, you have to do this, this, and this is why it does that. And that he's giving us all this information, right? But that, what I'm trying to say is like, I don't necessarily think that's set in stone. That's what he knows about it or what he's experienced with it, right? His experience could be totally different from their experience because I don't think they really establish any sort of like foolproof set rules, which I think is part of what I didn't like about this movie was that there were like things like that where
I kind of disagree. I agree with you saying he doesn't know because he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, going back to when that thing threw the rock into the window and climbed in, the only person that could have possibly seen that was the one person that could see that was Jay because she's peeking out the window at her neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. So, which is also like kind of weird that this thing took the form of somebody that I've never seen before. I don't think she's ever seen before. And you saw that, because the thing wasn't aware that she was there, or maybe it is aware that she's there, I'm not sure, but it didn't have to go through all that trouble to be seen by her, because she's the only person that can see it, and then pick up a rock to throw through a window, and then climb through, and then it finally changes its shape to look like the person's mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, I feel like the rules of what this is not completely alluded to in any point.
Yeah.
Only so everything is kind of everything is true at all the same instances, right? There's no like real.
It does follow behavioral one classic horror movie rule, though.
What's that?
If you're a virgin, you're going to survive.
Yeah, it's true. I guess that's kind of like the interesting part if I were to rewatch this movie, I would pay attention to see how it behaved in every scene and who could be who. Cause that was also one of the things is there were a lot of people walking towards the camera, which is walking towards them, right? Not walking towards the camera, but walking towards the characters. And that sort of set that, like, that's who they are. And sometimes it was them, sometimes it was the creature, sometimes it was just done to just for effect, right?
Yeah, so, freak you out, yeah.
Freak you out, so. But
we do know that it only walks, it can swim,
okay,
but so far it doesn't seem like it can fly. You know?
Okay, yeah.
But if this thing doesn't need to, like, eat, it doesn't seem like it sleeps or rests, right? Then it could potentially swim across an ocean eventually, right? Like, eventually?
If the individual is left to another country, yeah. Because, I mean, whoever, the thing follows whoever he marked, right? Whoever has...
Yeah.
Been Whoever's marked got the with black whatever spot. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that. And there is a scene where one of the other characters, they passed it to another character, the other guy, what's his name? Greg, and the neighbor kid. And like you had mentioned, it's there for him. And it's the mother, and she's like knocking on the door, waiting for Greg to answer. And looks at Jay, right? Because Jay's trying to warn Greg in that scene.
Greg, who is in the Skeleton Boy's favorite, Don't Breathe. I'm just
kidding. Oh.
He's one of the main kids, one of the kids that gets killed, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the creature, whatever, as the mom looks at her, but doesn't really react, right? Because the primary focus is the last person to have had it, right? That's who they're after. Yeah. Until it's passed on, right? So,
sorry, you want to get into spoilers?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can. Why not? Let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. All right, spoilers.
Spoilers.
I can't see it. I can't see it. We can't see it. It's right there. It follows. That's the movie I saw, by the way. So this thing, it tricks the Greg kid by turning into his mom and then immediately, like, pounces on him and basically rapes him to death.
Yeah.
By passing on, like, is it sucking goo off of him? I know it's supposed to allude to be kind of like cum-ish, right? I guess that's the idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's like kind of like fucking him until he dies. And he actually dies very quickly, which also made me question like, what happened to the other people? Like that girl at the beginning, was it she actually fought back?
She was smashed.
Is that why she like snapped her leg in half and then... This thing raped her to death? Oh, so
somebody surmised that. Yeah, that's true. It does. Yeah, you're right. or dry humps. Is that rape?
It's assault.
So, it's an assault you could get arrested for. We'll settle on that. But if somebody surmised that, this thing could have some sort of origins as a succubus or something, right? Like a creature who...
Yeah, maybe a succubus, because it does kind of suck the cum force out of you, but it's more of like a fuckubus. Or a party monster, if you will. Making it happen. So hashtag party monster, it follows.
So in the beginning, we didn't mention it, but we're alluding to now that the girl is running around in a circle, trying to run away from something she's not seeing. And eventually she gets in a car and drives away, as her dad tries to check up on her while in heels, which I thought was kind of whoa, what is this? So weird and odd.
I thought it was the movie. Funny, but it makes you assume that she probably just got this thing passed on to her, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She didn't. And she tries to drive away. She heads to the lake, and she calls. Her dad calls it, right? And she answers. She's like,
yeah, she just kind of lets something. It happen. Yeah. She just
so we can assume
accepts it.
Huh?
Like she just kind of accepted it. Yeah.
She says something on the phone, and it's dark, and she's by some lake, and then we cut to the morning, and she's been killed by having her like her legs smashed,
Yeah, we can assume or whatever that legs was snapped upward, where the kneecap is at on top was completely bent backwards.
Right. Yeah. And it was, I'm assuming that based on what happened to Greg, we can assume that whoever appeared there as the creature, whoever the creature appeared as, just got on top of her and just crushed her, right? Humped her, assaulted her, and then figured her legs that way because that's how they ended up.
So we can assume, right? I mean, we don't. I know we don't have an actual timeline between that death and our main characters, right? There's nothing that really tells you. There's no clarification as to whether that's even. I would assume it's got to be the same sort of town, right? Because otherwise,
You know what's so funny is. I didn't see this movie for some reason. I knew the plot of the movie, right? That the something is after you.
Yeah,
I just
monster.
Assumed I first the party monster is after you. I just assumed
not my colleague that Logan. It.
And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've seen too many horror movies. But I assumed that on the seventh day that the creature would come for her. Yeah. I don't know why I had that in my fucking head, but I've seen way too many movies. With that trope where it'll come for you in X amount of days. And I thought this was the movie. I was like, okay. But then the creature shows up whenever, really. There's no, like you said, there's no timeline or anything.
So I have one guess, and it is this girl that's running around in heels, which you think is kind of silly, had just been released by our Hugh/Jeff character. After explaining to her, this is that thing that's it's going to kill you. Either that or that was my assumption. Cause I was but again, we don't know what the time difference is in between these incidences. But I just assumed because Hugh is still alive, which he's very lucky, even though he's got to constantly look, behind his back.
Yeah.
I would immediately, even though it's a real shit thing that he did, I know he's desperate. I don't know why.
I think he
doesn't infect this is horrible to say, a shitty person and then do the same thing to that person, drug him, right? And then take him to a government facility, right? And be look what happens. Don't use me.
I mean,
use this person.
I don't know necessarily, I don't think he's thinking that much ahead of it. I think he thought that, okay, well, I pass it on to this other girl, right? And she starts to have a relationship with Jay, right? Is that right? Is that the sense I got? That he had it and he passed it to this girl, but this girl died, so he went back to him.
Yeah.
He just goes down the line.
And I think
according
he was
to
aware
him.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess when they were in the movie theater and he saw the girl in the yellow, he just thought, oh, fuck, we got to get out of here because what's her face must have died or so, didn't pass it on to anybody else. I did like that. That when Paul eventually,
well,
who
okay.
kind of has it,
he did yeah. have a whole fake name and fake backstory,
right?
To date yeah. Jay, so I'm assuming he already knew that the other person died.
Oh, you're right. Yes, yeah,
that's my.
That's
assumption.
You can assume that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I like that. I guess Paul liked Jay forever, right?
Yeah,
and then finally. When he passed to him, I just like that at the end of the movie that he drives by some prostitutes. He's like, maybe I should pass it out to them. That was like the most logical way to go about that, right?
Yeah, like, or like remember smart. Jay woke up because she drove away, right? She drove off without them from the lake and she went to like a different shore and woke up on top of the car. And then she saw the group of like the three white dudes like partying on a boat. So she swam out to obviously go and like pass that on to them. And it that's when I started questioning. I was like, is this like if you were protected to the gills, like if you made the guy wear a condom and made the girl wear like a dental dam, right? Right, is that what it's called? Yeah, right. Like, would this still infect you? Like, I'm confused. And who was the first person to get this thing, right? Like, did this person accidentally fuck this alien by accident? Or an alien, I call it an alien. But, like, whatever it is by accident.
Yeah, I don't know. It says, supposedly, according to the Hugh character, it goes down the line. So, it'll start all the way wherever the beginning. Which, whatever that means, right? I mean.
But what if that person's, like, already, like, old and dead? I got questions. I got questions, David Robert Mitchell.
Yeah, and
who made one other movie that I couldn't get through?
I did not like that movie. Yeah, same.
It
was really bad. So we're running a little long. Do you want to just talk about the end? What did you think of the end when they try to trap it in the public pool and try to electrocute it?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it smartens up,
and it's like fuck you. It starts like tossing the shit at her, like fuck you. I thought that was. It was a fun ending. I thought it was fucked up because did you catch what was off about that whole scene?
No.
It's supposed to be, there's a bunch of clues, but you got to pay attention every time. Like you see, her in her room, Jay in her room, and there's like a photo of her family. That's her dead father that it took the appearance.
Oh
of
yeah.
His hand. Yeah. And it's just like,
yeah, I
going
got
over there to essentially rape her to death.
Which is fucked up. Yeah. That was really fucked up. Yeah, because she mentions, I assumed it was the dad because they linger on one of the, when it changes on his face and she's mortified, right? Yeah. So I assumed, and they do early on establish that there's no dad, he died, and that he, and they do show a picture of a man with the kids in the home early on in the movie. Yeah. So I just assumed that, it was the dad that was there. Like, so that's rough. I kind of felt like you said, like, I don't think this thing is stupid because clearly it knew it could see through the kid's feeble attempt.
Yeah. Uh-huh. One subtle thing I think I didn't really catch on even saying all that because it's so daunting that it's like the dad, like, oh, what a horrible thing to do. But that's something that happens. Like sometimes, you know, some people's parents are fucking evil. And, you know, kill kids and they just molest them their entire lives and then eventually just kill them. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of commentary in this. Some of it's more subtle than others because everything else is so like, ooh, okay.
Right. Yeah. That we don't know. Maybe he was abusive. I mean, maybe it's not even of a sexual nature. Maybe he was abusive to the girls.
True,
we don't know, right? Jay was clearly, I mean, besides being completely mortified, wasn't very happy to see him or wasn't fooled or tricked or like she knew that, you know, what was going on. So we can insinuate that or allude to it being them not having the best relationship, right? Right. We never got a sense that there was any, there we didn't have a good relationship. So,
horrible.
Yeah. And, but yeah, so they tried to electrocute it. Paul tries to shoot it. I think he does eventually shoot it, which is weird.
And
what's the rules on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is...
the only reason... Because they threw the cover on it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sheet on it. So, yeah, he finally shoots the thing in the head, and then she crawls over, which I remember even now when I rewatch it, like, I don't know why I keep forgetting this moment. Like, that was one of those moments in the theater where I was like, oh my god, dude. I don't know if I can handle one more fucked up thing. Because, like, she's crawling towards the edge of the pool, and then you just see, like, all the blood start to flow out. Mm-hmm. So, the assumption is that it is hopefully dead. But now, because they have been introduced to this idea, they are constantly going to be looking over their shoulders. Are they going to be paranoid about it?
So, the last bit of this movie is Jay and Paul have sex, assuming that
Jay and Paul strike
Jay
back.
Passed it to Paul.
I'm sorry.
Jay and Paul passed it. And that Paul is carrying the curse, and then he has that scene where he drives by the prostitutes or whatever, and after that they cut to them holding hands, and they've kind of developed a relationship now, right? They're closer together, they trust each other, they're with each other kind of deal. I didn't get the sense that they were like, oh, we're in love now, because it was kind of like a fucked up thing going on. So maybe like,
this sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. They went through this horrible experience together. So now they're kind of like, feel, you know, when you go through something kind of horrific like that, you kind of get like tied to somebody, you know, you want to be with that person. So that's the sense I got from that relationship. And then it ends with the fucking, with somebody walking behind them in white. So we can assume maybe the thing's not dead or coming after Paul.
It was like a kid.
Right.
He was wearing like all street clothes. So it made me think like, I don't know. Cause it seemed like every time this thing took the appearance of something it had or people the thing knew, they were always like fucked up somehow. Like there was something like, how do I explain this? Like the creepy tall guy, his eyes were gouged out. The girl that I thought was what's her face? Yara.
Yara, yeah.
She was like all bloody nose and like something else was off about her. I don't know. That part's confusing because also it wasn't like Greg's mom was dead. It just took the shape of Greg's mom.
Exactly, yeah.
So and, I guess I'm wrong. I don't know. But there's always something sexual or like suggestive about each of these characters.
I think that's just a last thing. That was just like an ambiguous last little like, ooh, watch over your shoulder moment. You know what I mean? That's the way I interpreted it. Cause you're right. Like there are instances where the people who are, they're transformed into are very distinctly acting not normal, right? Like they're either naked or like, you know, in white or like they have a fucked up eye or, are there different shades of color? They look dead, right? They're all bloodied and gross. So
but I guess you do have a point though. Like the same way again, because I'm pretty sure this entire fucking story is about just sexual health almost. It could be anybody. You got to be careful. So I guess that was the idea too. Luckily, all their friends stay alive.
Yeah. No, it was excellent. It was really good. Cool. John, you have any last thoughts before going to ratings?
No, just it's a good movie. Love it. Seen it several times.
It's a very thought-provoking movie. I agree. All right, cool. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Just rate the movie.
Because of It Follows soundtrack, I'm going to give It Follows 8
7.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I'm going to do the same. Yeah. There were like, I think for me, I know we're talking very highly of it mostly, but I did have some like minor nitpicks, which we don't have to like get into, but just that I think that like I would have personally liked more of a solidified story. I think it's a little too abstract at points. And but I think it's was the right choice for I think it was the right choice for the director because that's the movie he set out to make. It feels like this is the movie he set out to make. And that's cool. That's cool. But just personally, I think there's just like some story elements, some story beats that I think could have been better fleshed out, I think, in my opinion. So, yeah, I also will give it 8 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. Okay. Perfect.
All right. It's hot. Summer's getting hot.
Yes.
So we got another summer-centric episode for you next week. So, all right, guys, gals, non-binary pals.
Real quick, before you say your ending, I think when we start recording this next episode or possibly when it comes out, it would be around the middle of summer, yeah?
Yeah, like a mid-summer.
Interesting.
Okay. Interesting. Tune in to find out what we're talking about. Okay. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.